Hello, my name is John Smetanka, and the name of our program is With Respect. Today's guest on With Respect is Jamie Bendosky. Jamie is the owner and the head, the manager and the cook, among other many other things, of the Full Circle Restaurant in beautiful downtown Stevensville, Michigan, which is near St. Joseph, which is the county seat of Berrien County, and the southwesternmost part of the state of Michigan in the United States. Jamie is a restaurateur, and we're going to find out, because we're dealing with a unique time in our country's life and the world's life, which is coming out of, and hopefully permanently out of, the COVID problem. We're going to talk about the effect on her business and her life of this past year. So, this is John Smetanka on With Respect, and we're going to be talking to Jamie Bendosky, the owner of Full Circle Restaurant in Stevensville. We'll be right back. So, Jamie, how are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you. Thank you.
So, where are you from originally?
So I actually am from St. Joseph, born and raised, went to school, did all of my growing up there. Mm-hmm. So this place is very much home to me.
How about your family? Tell me, Savannah, were you mom, dad here, yep. Brothers, sisters, what? Tell me.
Yep, I do have a younger sister. She's 7. My parents raised us right over on Tilly Road over by Michigan Lutheran High School, and that was homestead for until I was 18 and I was all grown up and able to go out on my own. Very traditional, family values. Didn't have a whole ton of money. Never, always had a very hardworking mom and dad.
Mm-hmm. What kind of things do they do?
So my mom was always involved in corporate, a lot of bookkeeping or accounts payable, accounts receivable, those types of things, mostly for Whirlpool. Mm-hmm. And then my dad actually was kind of like the head maintenance guy at a Lutheran school in St. Joe. So mm-hmm. he did that for years and years and then ended his career with a 20 years at Whirlpool as well. So, mm-hmm. that one place, Whirlpool, right?
That's right. In our area, there's so many people that are employed by the Whirlpool mm-hmm. Corporation, which is an appliance manufacturer around the world under many different names all around the world. So, when you were, where'd you go to grade school and high school?
So I actually went to a grade school at St. Paul's Lutheran, which is a block from my restaurant, which mm-hmm. is part of the meaning of my restaurant, Full Circle Cafe, was uh-huh. how I kind of ended up right back to where I started. So I went there, and then I went on to Lakeshore for a couple years, and then I started skipping school. So my parents got me back to private school, and I graduated from Michigan Lutheran.
All right.
Yeah.
Where did you go after that?
So, like most 18-year-olds, and I shouldn't say most, like half maybe, I was in that kind of point in my life where I wasn't really sure what I wanted to be when I grew up. So I took, the general classes at LMC for about a year and kind of just tried to find my way, and nothing really stuck, Mm-hmm. So I kind of just found myself in the restaurant industry at the age of 18 working. I don't know if you've ever heard of the place called Schuller's Restaurant.
Yes, absolutely.
That was my first, restaurant experience other than McDonald's. I started there when I was 15. I don't know what child hasn't worked at least a month at McDonald's. You learn there that the customer's always right. So I'm very grateful for that job. Mm-hmm. So Schuller's, that was kind of my first taste of, really making really great money in a short amount of time by taking really good care of customers. So that was kind of when, once you get a taste of how you can make, you know, $100 cash in 4 hours when you're 18, it does something to you. And for good or for worse, it kind of was one of those things where I'm like, well, why do I need to keep going to school if I can? Yeah, that's exactly what my parents said. So there went the battle that kind of started, where I just, you know, I went back and forth again to LMC. I went back to school there. I tried beauty college. I did all of, I was really searching. But once you kind of, there's something about the industry, the restaurant industry, that it really does grab a hold of you in a way that you kind of find your people. You kind of find your, for me, the people were the people I was taking care of and the relationships that I was building with the team that I was on. And it became like a camaraderie that just became very familiar and comfortable.
So, all right. Put aside the money, which sounds like very enticing for an 18-year-old, but what is it about a restaurant? I've talked to people who run restaurants, and they are, they talk about it being hard, very hard, a lot of work, a lot of uncertainty. A relative of mine had a restaurant and in Chicago, and it failed. And he got stuck with a lot of debts. Now, why did it fail? It turns out that the bartender was skimming the profits out of the restaurant. And my uncle, who is a believing person, a trusting person, didn't catch it until it was too late. But at any rate, so you tell me it's fun. What's so much fun about it?
I think it's the thing that you can always go back to. You know, no matter what's happening in your life, once you understand how to do this job and you do it well, especially the customer service aspect of it, the front of the house, we call it serving tables. That's where it began for me. I think once you figure that out, you can take that anywhere. I never made it to California as a server, but I went to Chicago and had a really great time living there for 3 years. I worked at a bunch of fancy restaurants and made even more money. And you can really take that, you know, my reason for going to Chicago to my parents was I'm going to go there and go to school, right? But again, you just kind of get to that. It's fun. I had a lot of fun and a lot of, I was able to travel. I was able to take time off to do things that I wanted to do. There's no commitment, you know, it's like there is. If you don't like your job at a restaurant, there's 20 other restaurants that are going to hire you now as a business owner and an owner of a restaurant. That's kind of biting me in the, but I totally, at that time, it was exactly what worked for me. Yeah. And again, this is 18 and 20s, you know.
So where did you work in Chicago?
So there's one of my favorite places there was Stony River Steakhouse, and that's in Deer Park, Illinois. It was in a little, it's still there as far as I know. It was very, very fine dining and way nicer than anything I'd ever seen in Stevensville or St. Joe, even Schuler's. And so that was really, it really kind of upped my game. I learned all about different kinds of wines and got to do all of the fancy training that you get to do on, you know, everything from different cuts of steak or meat and different, you know, seafood that I hadn't really had experience with. And again, for what I was doing for a living, it was really meaningful training to continue to propel me. I will add this though. One thing that did happen wasn't school, but I did also get a really great corporate job because I got bit by the bug of wanting to work in the city. The city of Chicago is probably one of my top three favorite places in the world that I've been to so far. And I ended up finding getting lucky, meeting someone that recruited me to work, funny enough, at a headhunter firm, an executive headhunter firm in downtown Chicago. And so I was doing both things. I was single, not committed to anyone, and I was working about 60 to 70 hours a week doing the restaurant thing and the corporate gig, which I really, truly fell in love with. And so at the same time that I had the restaurant experience in my back pocket, I then began to start building my corporate resume, mm-hmm. And kind of delved into some and really some, built a really great resume there.
Mm-hmm. So that was yeah. 3 years worth of work, you said.
The restaurant was.
The restaurant, mm-hmm. yeah. And but, then how long total in Chicago?
About six. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I, of course, met someone and decided then, I had, other than the headhunter firm, I had another great stint for a, I guess it would be like a, the Department of Education hired this collection company to collect on student loans. And so mm-hmm. it was my job to hire everyone. I was the seventh employee and I hired over 100 people. Hmm. And again, didn't have experience doing that. It was literally just conversations that I had. See, when you work in the restaurant business and you work in the front of the house and you're selling things, you really are a salesperson. Mm-hmm. And what I had gotten really good at was selling myself. And what I didn't really realize at the time, but now looking back at my 20-something-year-old self, is I was pretty confident and I had a pretty decent head on my shoulders. And so I'd never lied about my experience, but I'm always, even today, that I can do this kind of person. Mm-hmm. I don't usually turn down a challenge, and I also, I feel very capable most of the time.
You have confidence in yourself.
Yeah,
your
my mom did. My mom and dad did a great job with that. Yeah.
So, 6-7 years in Chicago, and you come back here.
Yeah.
What brought you back?
So came back here. I actually got married to someone who's now my ex-husband, but we got married, we bought a house, we did all of the things. And I was still kind of veering towards the corporate world. I got a great job at the, it's called ASABE. It's the, it's Agricultural and Biological Engineering. It's the, I was the executive assistant to the president there. Mm-hmm. And so I did that. And of course, at the same time, I got a restaurant job too. So once again, I'm back to work, to being married and working 60 hours a week and trying to figure out how to be married to someone that it wasn't meant to be with. So
that happens.
So again, though, those two tracks, you know, I had the corporate thing going and I had the restaurant thing going, and always kind of, as far as my career goes, always kind of trying to figure out exactly which direction I was going to go. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that kind of stayed true.
What brought you to starting your own restaurant? You were combining both sales, personnel, business, corporate work, mm-hmm. food, waitressing, cooking, whatever. All this stuff mm-hmm. is now rolling into something.
Well, the one thing I haven't told you about is my upbringing with my grandparents. Both mm-hmm. My dad's parents lived next to us. So in my growing up, I literally was neighbors with my grandma and grandpa for 18 years. And then my other set of grandparents lived just a couple miles away. We were there often, and both of my grandmothers were, I don't even know what the best word would be, except for they loved to entertain, to cook, to bake. Mm-hmm. And I spent hours and hours and days and so much time with each of them in their kitchens. See, remember, my mom was always working. Mm-hmm. So she taught me the value of hard work, whereas my grandmas especially taught me what it means to welcome people into your home and how to take good care of them. Mm-hmm. And of course, piqued my interest with, you know, let's bake brownies or let's, you know, make a really delicious soup or something like that. And so all of these seeds were kind of planted along the way. And so when it got to be time for me to figure out what I really want to be when I grow up, mm-hmm. I was divorced, broke, 32, and working in two restaurants. And just really sick of corporate. I'd had it with that, just kind of bored of it, the 9-to-5. Mm-hmm. And really all I wanted to do is just work in the restaurant and maybe at night bake stuff and take it to my friends at the restaurant. That mm-hmm. I, you know, and that was kind of my fun. Christmas was my favorite. I'd have people over and we'd bake, you know. And so that was when I was kind of realizing, like, this is something that I actually dabble in, and it actually makes me happy to bake something and then see people
enjoy
experience it. Yeah. I never really, in my mind, I don't think I ever put together that I wanted to own my own bakery, let alone a restaurant at that point. But I do remember having one of the restaurant owners that I worked for, I remember having a conversation with her after I made her a gluten-free cake. She had gone gluten-free. And she said, "This is literally the best cake I've ever had in my life."
Mm.
And I said, "Well, why don't we just do this baking thing? You give me the money and I'll do all the baking. You pay for everything. I'll do all the baking." And it was a joke. And there were beers and wine involved. And, short story is that we actually did go into business for a short time, for about a year. It was called Gluten Free Goddess. Mm-hmm. And it was an at-home bakery. And it was literally that. She literally funded it. She got the licensing and all of those things. And we were able to get that started out of our home.
Well, we're going to take a break right now while we catch our breaths, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that you've been doing. And this is a fascinating life that you've led. But we're going to take a break right now. This is John Smetanka on With Respect, and we're talking to Jamie Bendosky, who is the owner and cook and bottle washer and salesperson for the Full Circle Restaurant in beautiful downtown Stevensville, Michigan. We'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Jamie Bendosky, who is the owner of Full Circle Restaurant in Stevensville, Michigan. This is John Smetanka. So, Jamie, you had this gluten-free, what was it, gluten-free?
Gluten-free goddess.
Goddess, yes. All right. What happened? You said one year?
Yep. So it was, about a year. And I actually had a daughter at that point. So mm-hmm. I kind of skipped the personal life stuff. But basically, I met the love of my life. And we had a beautiful little girl. And she was about 1 year old. One. And we decided with my friend from Santanello's, actually, Rosanna is her name. And we decided that we were going to do this gluten-free baking thing. And I was going to be the baker. So we did that. And it was great for a year. And then I got pregnant with my second, who is my son. And I thought to myself, what the heck am I doing with a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old mm-hmm. trying to bake at home? This is impossible. And we kind of just put things to rest. Mm-hmm. So that kind of dissolved. But it definitely kind of awoke something inside of me that I didn't realize was there. And I always kind of hoped that I'd be able to come back to that baking stuff.
Mm-hmm.
With my kids being so little, it wasn't the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Well, what is it about baking? I mean, all right, I know most of the friends that I have, especially by percentage, the women friends I have, love baked goods. They love bread. They love this. And I could say, unless it's sweet and it's fattening, I mean, hello, no. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is it about baking, whether it's bread or pastry or whatever it is, cakes, that is so interesting to you? And why do people like it?
Well, I mean, let's be real. Sugar is basically a drug. So that would be one big reason, right? It is certainly addictive to some. And I think it's really... It sounds so cliche, but when you are doing something that you love, it's just, it tastes better. When you're making something with love and you enjoy doing it, mm-hmm. I feel like if you have two people baking and one of them hates what they're doing and one of them loves what you're doing, you're going to notice the difference when you taste it.
That's interesting. I never thought about it that way.
It's a belief I have. And again, I go back to that whole, idea of making something and then giving it to someone and just – having them be so happy or so say that it's the best they have ever, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't, that feeling doesn't get old. Mm-hmm. So much so that, it, you know, it kind of brought me to this place that we're in now. Because baking was really where Full Circle began. Full Circle was supposed to be my bakery that we started at home, a second bakery that I started at home called Everything Sweet. Mm-hmm. And I started that with my best friend from high school. So not Rosanna. Rosanna was doing her own thing then. Mm-hmm. And this is my new, or not my new, my old friend. And we decided that after about 6 years of 6 months of building our business on Facebook, we were having to turn people away when they ordered. They wanted to have weddings and they wanted to do all of these things and feature our baked goods. And we just didn't have the space in our homes to do it. So we went out looking for commercial space. We found the location that we actually are in now at Full Circle, and we found a third partner who was going to be the chef. And so we were going to bake, and she was going to be the chef. And Full Circle was going to be, you know, pastries. Empanadas is what the chef wanted to bring to the table, was empanadas and coffee. And that was kind of going to be what Full Circle was. Mm-hmm. And John, I have to tell you, it literally fell in our laps. Like this, it was not a business plan that we wrote out or thought out. It was literally like I had then at that point a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I said, okay, we're going to try this baking thing again. And it just, the power of social media really is what built our business to the point where let's get a storefront. And that's like what people dream of. And it mm-hmm. happened to us in like 6 months.
Wow.
So it was shocking, honestly. So we were going to rent the basement there. We met with the landlord. They have a kitchen in their basement. Mm-hmm. And we met with the landlord and we were sitting down having this meeting saying that we just wanted to rent the basement initially just to get the bakery going. And then maybe we'd talk about the restaurant part. And he said, mm-hmm. We'll throw the restaurant in. We'll give you this big deal. It's turnkey. And literally kind of like made it super easy for us to do mm-hmm. this whole thing. So that's what we did. I mean, we signed the paperwork 2016. And within 6 weeks, one of the partners, the chef, bowed out because she wanted to go kayaking on Saturdays. And I think it hadn't occurred to her that once you decide to have a restaurant that's going to be open 6 or 7 days a week, Saturdays mm-hmm. are probably going to be busy for a while. So that's when my husband joined forces with me, and it truly became a family business. The third partner, my old best friend, she bowed out after a year. And so it was officially just a family business. And we've really just been going strong ever since in one way or another.
we haven't fixed it on times yet or on dates, but when did you start to use the space, which is now Full Circle Cafe?
Yep, May 2016. So we just actually celebrated our 5-year anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when did you start treating it not just as a bakery, but as a restaurant or cafe?
July, 2 months later.
All right.
And you know why?
Why?
Because the customers wanted it. Within the first month, we had people that were coming in. They wanted lunch. They wanted breakfast. They wanted more than just a pastry and a coffee. And so we listened to the customers and we made changes. And it was received well, and so we just kept doing it.
Because we know that the customer is always right.
Yeah, that's what I learned.
That's right. All right, so the morphing from baking into, I'm going to call it a full-service food facility, is that a different world? That is, you knew baking. You were a baker. You mm-hmm. loved it. That was mm-hmm. your passion. But then you also were a waitstaff, waitress, and whatever else you did during the course of your time in restaurant work. That dealt with food other than bread products. All right. So, is there a difference between the way you run a bakery and the way you run another food service, a restaurant or a cafe? And do you understand the difference? Mm-hmm. There are different kinds of law. People practice different kinds of law. Some people do business law. Some people do criminal law. Some people do estate work. And you can, you're a lawyer, and in America, you can do anything, in, at least certainly in Michigan. You don't have to be certified to be a banker or a bank law person and then move over to criminal law. Same person either way. Now, I will tell you, though, that the world of criminal law is different than the world of estate law, wills and trusts and that sort of thing. It is different than running a business, helping advise a business in its contract work. And so while I am able to do all of those, I will tell you that they're two different worlds and different kinds of people that you interact with, different kinds of systems that you work with. So I'm not going to toss it back to you about restaurants. Is it all one piece? Do you, a baker, is a baker going to be a good steak cooker or vice versa?
I guess if you're lucky. I mean, I had never worked in a restaurant kitchen before. Mm-hmm. You know, I had made baked goods in my home, you know, so I was taking a chance just even in never having worked. I mean, I'll say that again. I've never worked in a bakery other than my own. Mm-hmm. So the idea that I even thought that I could open a bakery.
All right.
So I have to still go back to, geez, I mean, we were blessed. I mean, we didn't have a big grand plan. I happened to have my best friend at the time who was baking, and she and I had built the business Everything Sweet, so we had our recipes, and she was holding that down while I did all of the hiring from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And once my chef friend stepped out of the business after 6 weeks and my husband stepped in to help us with recipes, I continued to run the business. I did all of the hiring. I did all of the scheduling. I did all of the payroll, all of the human resources side. I did all of the advertising, all of the social media. I did all of the things. So I was able to build the business in that way and be very, very in tune with what the customers were saying. And once I was able to get feedback and really hear what the needs were, whether it was we need to get food out faster, which is still a wonderful thing that I hear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I decided very early on, probably still within that first year, that as much as I love to bake, I had to take what I knew in the bakery and apply it to our kitchen, and I had to become a line cook, mm-hmm. which again is something I had never done. So if you want to talk about being scared, or if you want to talk about, you know, this confident girl really getting her reality check,
mm-hmm.
It was definitely within year, you know, two-ish, three, that I was like, what are we doing? You know, whose idea was this anyway?
Sorry. The business started in 2016?
In the brick and mortar,
yes. In the brick and mortar, mm-hmm. All right. However, I have had, often have had breakfast in your restaurant or lunch or something like that. And I enjoyed the experience, and I can give you all the critiques, too. But I will tell you that I know that you were doing well. There were lots of people coming in and people were talking. There was a buzz around town that your restaurant was doing well. It was a good place to go. And unfortunately, we hit a brick wall.
Mm-hmm.
In February, March of 2020, the world all comes crashing down.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how it hits you and how soon it hits you, as on a personal level or on a business level, but I have seen it all around how businesses, customers of my, clients of mine, people that I run into in all different kinds of law were hit in different ways, but everybody was hit by it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure of anybody who wasn't, from the frontline workers to, say, restaurants, hardware stores, grocery stores, mm-hmm. hospitals, and on at the courthouse and court systems around the country. Everybody had a big wake-up slap in the face. And people dealt with it differently. There's some people who dealt with it well-ish, some people who dealt with it very poorly, and then there are those things that happened to people during the time that they were isolated and that we're going to be, in my view and view of many other people I've talked to, we're going to be dealing with those effects of COVID for a long time coming, because people came through this isolation period called quarantine, and then wearing masks and social distancing and being afraid to be around other people, and being told this and told that, and it's all different, and they hear something on the internet, but they hear the president or somebody else say something else, and everybody says, well, I've got doctors supporting me, and they're all different. They give different pieces of advice. It's like walking through a minefield, the poor people. And I feel sorry for everybody on this. But we're going to, I want to take a break now, but when we come back, I want you to talk about those things, those issues, what you saw, what you experienced in your business. All right? This is John Smetanka, Ron With Respect, and we're talking to Jamie Bednoski, who is the owner and everything in Full Circle Cafe in downtown Stevensville. We'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Jamie Bednoski, who is the founder, owner, cook, waitress, baker, and this business leader, hirer, social media person, everything for this thing called Full Circle Cafe in, as I keep saying, beautiful downtown Stevensville, which if people ever go to beautiful downtown Stevensville, they'll see it's about three blocks. And yeah. Very interesting, different businesses there, but certainly not a huge metropolis. So, Jamie, what happened? How did it hit you?
I am going to answer your question, but I have to say one tiny little thing. All of your introductions have been so kind and generous to me. I have the best team and the best partner in leadership at Full Circle. And I could not do it all. Now, at the very beginning, did I feel like I'm doing it all? Of course. I think as business owners, a lot of us feel that way. I have learned so much from the people that I work with. I have been supported so well by my husband, who runs the business with me. And I just want to make sure that I'm not taking credit where it's not due. I work very hard, but the team that surrounds me is incredible.
You know, it's one of the interesting things about professional sports is that the smart players recognize that they are not the whole show.
Yeah, I tell people at interviews, I always hire people smarter than me. I literally tell people that. Mm-hmm. And I want to always hire people that are way more talented than I am, you know, because that only benefits our business.
Okay. Well, you
to get that out.
I'll tell you right now, from what you said and what you've told me so far, you will never hire me because you're far, far brighter than I am. So what do you think? What happened?
Yeah, so, you know, I can tell you super, I mean, it just smacked me in the face. It was March 13th. It was Friday the 13th. Our kids were told that they weren't going back to school. And that was really I had been paying attention to an extent, okay? But I had also been on a hiatus from watching the news because politics. So I was not as educated as I probably should have been on March 13th as to what was coming. But I realized it was serious when the kids were not going to be in school. So that night, as soon as I heard the news that the schools were closing and that things were changing, I changed. I mean, literally, I think I got out of bed and went to social media and I said, okay, this is what we're doing. We're going to start doing curbside service. We don't know how things are going to play out, but we know that you're going to be hungry, and we know that we can bring things to your car. So if you're uncomfortable coming into our restaurant, let us bring it to you. We can collect payment in the parking lot, whatever we need to do.
Where'd you get that idea?
I don't know, John. I truly don't know, because this is March 13th. I mean, this is like
the
as
day.
It happened.
This is the day.
I think for me, I took in a lot of, I mean, I'm always looking at what my peers are doing as restaurant owners as well. I do feel like I was one of the early ones to try to do something like this. I know for sure in Stevensville. But it just, I'm in survival mode. In March of 2020, we were not, you know, doing super well financially. I'm just going to say our business was, we were definitely kind of like paycheck to paycheck kind of days. And this is 4 years into the business and we were disappointed, but at the same time, it wasn't so bad that we were ready to give up. And so I quickly turned to fighting mode and survival mode and said, okay, how are we going to make the best of the situation so that we can continue to pay our bills? So the first week, the first 10 days, that's what we did. We did takeout only. Because I do believe that very shortly after the 13th, they did actually close restaurants to indoor dining. So we had no choice. Well, we had one phone line. It took us about 10 minutes to take one order because we're a lot of times collecting payment over the phone, repeating the order back. It's a whole family because the kids are home from school. So, I mean, if you do the math and you're open from 7 to 3, you're really not going to be able to make enough money using one phone line. So, again, I'll skip forward to the March 23rd, which was a Monday, and I made the very difficult decision to actually close our restaurant for what I thought was going to be 2 weeks. And I sat with our staff and I cried with them and I told them in the most heartfelt way, thank you for everything. And I truly didn't know what the other side of this looked like because I knew what we had in the bank and I knew what we had to pay even though we were going to be closing. And I just didn't know. I just did not know if we would have the capital to reopen at whatever point. So a couple things happened at that point. We had like the next, I closed for business on the 23rd, but we still had lots of product that I wanted to, you know, we make our own ranch dressing. I'm sure someone wanted to buy our ranch dressing. So we make our own granola. I'm sure someone wanted to buy the rest. So we had another half day where we sold a bunch of things retail. And that afternoon I was closing up. Again, I did a lot of crying in March of 2020. I'm in the restaurant by myself, and all of a sudden, I start to look at our books for the day and start to close things down, and I see these electronic gift cards were being purchased from our customers, and it wasn't like one or two, and it wasn't like $20. It was like $100. It was like one family buying $500, and it was literally like in the course of like 3 hours in an afternoon, and someone must have put something on social media or had some group that they were in. I still never got to the bottom of it. But I mean, just I think in that afternoon, there were about $5,000 in gift cards purchased. And again, I'm weeping. I took a shot of one of them, you know, with keeping it confidential, but I put it on social media. I said, you do not understand how meaningful this is. This is a really scary time, and I just wanted to say thank you. And that kept happening, truly. We were closed for 10 weeks. And it was the best, you know, the best of times and the worst of times, okay? We have a 6 and an 8-year-old at home now, then. And we got 10 weeks together that we probably will never have together for the rest of our lives. That was super meaningful. And even though there were hard days trying to figure out the business part of things, we really did try to, I mean, we were homeschooling them essentially. So there was that, but also really just trying to find the joy in the days to just be present with them. On the business end of things, I just have to say too, again, we just got lucky at every turn. Our customers took care of us. We were able to get grants. Anytime something was offered, I applied. Anytime I saw something, I applied. I mean, my mother was really helpful with kind of keeping me informed as well. If I didn't catch it, she did. And we just put our hands out. I mean, things fell into place that literally saved our business. And we can all be critical of how things went and in terms of governors or presidents or whatever happened, but the things that happened kept our business open. The decisions that were made, the votes that were made, those things kept our business open, and we are yeah, eternally grateful.
All right. Well, you shut down for 10 weeks.
10 weeks, scary.
The whole business was shut down, and you were survived by the generosity of your friends. Mm-hmm. You did, however, then start to reopen as the society began to change. Tell me about how did it happen that you were able to reopen, and what was the world that you reopened in? Was it the same world that you left?
Such a great question. Again, just smacked in the face. I will say this. One of the best things and best uses of time while we were closed, along with being with my family, I built our website, which is something that I had put off in 4 years because I didn't have time. Mm-hmm. And what I did with that was build our online ordering system, which was extremely instrumental in keeping us open when we reopened in June of 2020. It was a whole new world. It was masks. It was being scared that my employees were going to get sick and we'd have to close again, mm-hmm. because we had a staff of 14, two of which are asthmatic. That in and of itself was scary to me. And we had a couple people that didn't come back because they were nervous. So short-staffed, sort of. At that point, we were still closed on the inside, so we were only doing takeout. But with that online ordering, we were able to make that work. We did allow people to come in and peruse our bakery case and pay inside. And there were conversations and hostility for no reason at all. I still cannot believe that people just wanted to argue about something like our sign that says, please wear your mask when you enter. I kind of wore myself out educating people, and it was never my job, but I went on social media, I face-to-face, tried to explain that it was not a power trip that I was on. I'm not a doctor. It's not a degree that I have. It was literally just me fighting for the life of our business and caring about my employees. I didn't know enough about COVID to say, yeah, okay, you're probably fine if you don't wear your mask in here. You know, and who am I to gamble with someone's life who's, especially the 16-year-old that works for me on Saturdays. You know, I'm everyone's mom. So it really was gut-wrenching some days. And I can talk for a long time about those hard moments, but there were also so many amazing, amazing people that came in, were supported us on social media. One experience is a customer that bought all of those electronic gift cards, one of them. She came in with an envelope and had all of the printouts of them, and she gave them back to me just as a way to say, I'm just giving you cash. I gave you cash for your business. I'm never going to use these. And again, tears. There's so much more good than negative, but the constant combativeness with people I didn't even know, some people I did know that were long loyal customers. It was really kind of just like, it kind of made you question humanity a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. just kind of like, I'm just a let's care about each other kind of person. Mm-hmm. I was like that before COVID. It's how we raise our kids to be. And so it did. It was heavy. It was heavy on my heart for sure. It was a struggle. But
you came out of it.
Came out of it.
Is it the same world now that it was before COVID? Before you had, you know, that March 13th, Friday the 13th, 2020, everything hits. Now, it is now into 2021. Things are reopening. Is it the same world? Same relationships with people now as it was before COVID and during COVID? I mean, are you seeing a difference in the people that come in? Are they as combative as they were during the close down? Where are they? Were they happier? Were they more generous? How does this, and now going forward, how are you doing in the business itself? That is, you got your employees. I know that people around the country have had difficulty getting, especially in restaurants. Tell me about that. Tell me about all those things, because they're really interesting to me.
Yeah, the first part of your question, I don't think that many of us will ever be the same as we were before March 13th, 2020. And that's really just because the experiences that we had, like you mentioned, quarantining, right? Being away from family for an extended period of time. Some of us that are just lonely, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. I feel for the elderly that were in homes. My grandparents were some of them. My sister had a baby during COVID, and I literally have still only seen my new nephew like 5 times, you know? Mm-hmm. It changed who we are. I think also with a lot of social justice issues that happened during COVID, I think also with the way that politics were during COVID, I think we were all able to tune in more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's necessary. I think it woke some of us up maybe to what's actually going on and maybe to how we can get involved. But I also think it was mind-numbing to an extent. Maybe some of the things that I hadn't been paying attention to, once I did, it just gutted me. So I have changed. I know. I know that other friends have changed as well. I don't think we'll be the same.
We're going to take a break now. And we're going to go back and talk some more about this, because my observations of not only your business but many other businesses has been instructional. Now, I'll get to my points in a few minutes. This is John Smetanka on With Respect, and we're talking to Jamie Bednoski, who is the owner and the guiding light. I'm going to make all these kinds of things about you that you're going to get embarrassed about, of Full Circle Restaurant Cafe in downtown Stevensville, Michigan. We'll be right back. We're now back on With Respect with Jamie Bednoski, who is the owner of Full Circle Restaurant Cafe in downtown Stevensville. This is John Smetanka. Jamie, when we broke, I said that I want to see what you mean, test out. I am a lawyer. I practice law. I practice law all throughout the past year. And I will tell you that working from home was made easier for me by electronics. I could work from home and still accomplish things. However, there are many things which were made very difficult by in the law. For example, the courts shut down. And law is practiced not always in the courtroom, but the courtroom always has to be available. It's a reality in the practice of law that people react to the fact that they may have to go into court and deal with their problems in a formal sense. And so often they will try to stay away from that and resolve cases among themselves. So that's one thing. The second thing is that we saw this boom in Zoom for the court hearings that we did have. And I found that many lawyers found that to be great. Why? Because I could, instead of, if I had a motion in Detroit or a status conference in Detroit, and later on that afternoon there was a motion in Kent County, and later on that afternoon there was something else which occurred in Newaygo County. So I can, if I'm doing Zoom, I can attend all of those. My client is not paying for my travel, and I can get all those things done from my office because of Zoom. So there are some disadvantages to it. I know that the court personnel do not like it necessarily, but or at least some of them don't. And however, there are some things which allowed us, electronics allowed us to continue. Now, that took away, however, a lot of the human part of the of the process. So I didn't see and talk to and shake hands with my clients. And that, so we had to develop a whole different way of dealing with the human side. And the courts did as well. Now, we will never go back to what we did before and how we worked in the court system or in the legal profession. No, it will never go back. I will tell you that in the practice of law, we saw, and our firm does a lot of people work. We don't do a lot of, we're not a basically paper practice. We're a people practice. We try cases. We're trial lawyers. And we do other things as well, but people are important to us. We saw, I saw in the in my practice, a situation where my clients were more and more stressed by having to go through their businesses or their lives without certainty, without the same old certainties that we had. You know, that you went to a courthouse, there were these people there, you'd say, hi, haven't seen you for a while, how's it going, how's the family? Can't do that anymore. So I ask you now, what about your business? Have you seen a change in the overall way that your business runs from before COVID?
Yeah, I just will start by saying, I mean, we are busier than we've ever been. Okay. One of the things that we did last summer was we added an additional outdoor dining area on the street. We call it our street side patio. And that combined with our patio that we have in the back and still being only at 50% inside by choice because I don't have enough staff. Mm-hmm. I truly don't even know what the governor has said about capacity limits right now. I couldn't even tell you. I've kind of lost track. But so that and then our online ordering, I mean, we are really busy. And we are just starting to get to the point now. This week, actually, I've just hired 3 new people. So we're really starting to staff up. But the last month, I mean, May and June were really hard to – it was hard to balance the wonderful amount of business that we've gotten with the labor that I don't have.
Okay. Why don't you have labor? Let's get down to it.
Well, I mean – I'm sure you've read news and read articles. You know, the story is that, you know, businesses like mine don't pay enough and that the workers are now at the point where they don't want to come back to do such a hard job because it is hard work for little pay. I like to boast about the fact that that's not who we are and that's not who we've ever been and probably why I wasn't making money for 4 years, quite honestly. We've always tried to pay very generous wages, again, because we hire only the best and they're worth it, but also because morale is hugely important to the customer experience. You really want your employees to be super happy to be at work, right? Because then the customers can completely feed off of that. And that's always worked for us. So I think it's been a struggle for us, but only because it's been a struggle for everyone. And the more people that I meet and the people that I interview and the job offers that I make, I feel like we are very competitive in what we're paying and it will level out. And I think people still, even, you know, in May, even in March, even now, there still might be people that are leery about going to work in a restaurant. How safe will you be if you're working in a restaurant and there's another variant or something that I just heard about today. So there's still that, you know, I feel like fear has been so overused the last year, but there's some valid fears too. We all have people that we love that could be considered high risk. So there's a lot more that goes into it than just.
Yeah. But I want to toss out 2 other things that I've seen in the news. First of all, we are on a border with Indiana. Mm-hmm. Indiana is a different psyche state than we are. Less government influence, more here, lower taxes and that sort of thing down in Indiana. But wages. People were getting, I heard from various people, we can't hire because they're going down to Indiana. Yeah. Because they opened up faster and they were paying better or they were at least, they were in fact running businesses that people went to. Mm-hmm. Michigan people went down there. So to the extent that one argument is that our regulations, our looking out after our people, as we talk about it, did in fact not maybe drove away or let Indiana lure away our workforce. That's one theory, and I'm going to talk about another. Child care was another one that I've heard over and over again, that we need not just better wages, but we need better child care, because people who were the prime child care members of a family couldn't get, because of COVID or whatever, couldn't get the ability to break loose from taking care of their children to go back to work. And then I've heard, the last one that I've heard is, well, you know, people are getting so many benefits from government handout programs that there's no incentive to go back to work. And I don't know the truth of any of that from actually working with people, but I want to ask you, do you have any views on those issues?
So the part about unemployment, especially, I've seen it ring true a little bit, just in even as something as simple as offering hours to an employee who just didn't want to work that many hours because it would take away their benefits. So that's definitely been a real thing. But again, I really try to just, I think all of the points that you raised are probably valid. Can I pinpoint each of them in my experience? Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think that this whole year has been a different journey for each of us. And I think that to put people in certain buckets and say that this is their thought process is really, it's really hard to do.
Right. Why? Yeah. Now, you right there. You've talked about why you got into business, what you like about the restaurant business, the baking and the people and all of that sort of thing. You're not making judgments. I can see it on your face. I'm not going to let him force me into making judgments about other people. Mm-hmm. Is that part of this?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely part of it. I feel like all the judgments in the world have been made towards me or my business, and I'm not going to do that because I don't like to be put in a box. I don't want someone to think that I'm some whatever it is for having people wear masks during COVID, for trying to keep people safe, or for saying Black Lives Matter in front of my business, or for whatever. I'm not to be put in a box. I care about people. I love people. I accept people. That's what I do. So I'm not going to judge someone or assume what motives are. If you're staying home and not going to work because you're scared that you're going to get your grandma sick, I can relate to that. If you're staying home because you can't afford to pay daycare or you can't find daycare, I have kids, I can relate to that. You know, I can relate to all of it. So I just have really tried to not demonize people that mm-hmm. I necessarily don't agree with. And it's mm-hmm. taken me a year to get to this point because I did a lot of demonizing about maybe 6-7 months ago. But I just can't live like that. It hurts. It's too painful to live like that and to try to and to just be judgmental in a way that's the people across the street live way differently than I do, but our kids go to school together and we got to love each other. If we don't do that, this world is in so much trouble.
I will say this. And on a happy note, I have seen a lot of misery, psychological misery, social misery, over the past, I'm going to say it, 8 to 10 years, in whether it's the area of politics or society generally. I am beginning to see, and I've talked to other people who are also more sophisticated than I am, and they agree, beginning to see people letting down some of the animosity that had built up over the past 10, 15 years mm-hmm. and really exacerbated during the last year. Mm-hmm. So I want to tell you that it is, I'm more hopeful than I was 6 months ago, but it's still a rough patch that we're going through. Mm-hmm. So at any rate, what's the future? You only have 1 minute and 30 seconds to what's the future for Full Circle?
I mean, I see blue skies ahead. I really do. I feel like we have been, I keep saying blessed. We have been so blessed by all of the programs that were out there to benefit businesses and by our customers like you who just keep coming back even when we have bad days, because we do. We're not robots back there in the kitchen. We're not making coffees, with a machine. We're actually, there's humans doing that. And so I just feel like we are poised. We were already ahead of where we were in 2019. And I feel like we are going to have the best year ever. I feel like now that we're building that staff back up to where we need to be, we have lots of ideas. The ideas never stop.
All right.
So.
All right. Jamie Bednoski, thank you very much for joining
us
on With Respect.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
It's a lot of fun learning about a new business, a new area of human life, and a new person. So the name of our program is With Respect. We're on every Sunday and Thursday. And remember, our mantra, if you show respect to other people, they will show respect to you.